Daniel chapter 4, there's still hope for America, is what I'd like to preach on tonight. There's still hope for America. Really, we should take the time probably to read the whole 37 verses, but we're going to read most of them as we go through the message anyway. So what I would like to do tonight is maybe just pick out a few verses here to get started and lay a little bit of groundwork and just go through it together. But I want you to leave here with the thought tonight, there's still hope for America. When you see what Nebuchadnezzar went through in chapter number 4, and I'm talking about a king in all of his glory, he ends up eating grass. But he changes his mind about the things of God. America may hit a whole lot lower ebb than she is right now, but I believe it's possible. Our job, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. God said, I will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. That's our job. Amen. We don't need to talk about somebody else's job if we're not doing our job. But I believe there's hope for America, and I want to show it to you tonight in Daniel chapter 4. Verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I want you to think about our nation tonight as we read some of this. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Let's just bow and pray and just start right there and kind of go through the chapter a little bit at a time and see what God would say to us. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, tonight for your people. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that makes this Bible so real and so relevant to right where we are. And I pray, dear Father, that, Lord, in this generation, there'd be a group of people before we'd have to get to the place where we eat grass would turn from their wicked ways. And God, I pray for our nation, the leaders of our nation. Lord, it's no accident in the providence of God. Brother Steve mentioned tonight what he mentioned. Lord, I've known for some time that God's people are hated by many in this country. God's program, the salvation of sinners, Lord, is despised by many in this country that we live in. But Lord, I'm glad tonight greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. This is the victory that giveth, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And Lord, the Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God which always causes us to triumph. Lord, right there in Rome, he was in one of the wickedest places that's ever been. And yet, Lord, he was able to live for God and lift up the Savior. Help us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to call your attention tonight to four things. Just before I do, I want you to notice, just by way of introduction, that coming out of chapter number 3, in verse number 29, Nebuchadnezzar said, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. I just want you to see a little bit of the context. You're coming into chapter number 4. This king Nebuchadnezzar has made his image of gold in chapter 3, has demanded that everybody bow down when they hear the music and worship the image. And there was 3 young men that said, no, sir, we don't know if God will deliver us from the fire, but we know this, we're not going to bow to that stinking image of gold that you've made. Amen? And I want you to understand that because God delivered them the way that he did. The king, he looked into the furnace. He said, did we not throw three men bound into the burning fiery furnace? Lo, I see four men loose and walking around. And he said, the form of the fourth is likened to the Son of God. If your Bible don't say that, I don't apologize. You ain't got the right Bible. If it says it's a son, little s, of thee, God's, little g, plural, you've got the wrong Bible. I tell you, it's the Son of God that delivered them boys from the fire, and it's the Son of God that's going to deliver you and I from the fire when we leave this world. Amen. Actually, he's already, if you're born again, delivered us from the fire. The primitive quartet used to sing a song, the only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Thank God, amen, that we're not going to that place called hell. We've been saved by the grace of God. So the king, he's getting along good. In chapter 4, he said to all the people that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God, that's a capital G, O-D, no S's on the end of it, amen, that has wrought toward me, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. Can you say that tonight? Thank God, amen. He's a great God. We sang in the choir this morning, how great thou art. In every generation, at least there's somebody that realizes, beloved, there's a great God in heaven, amen, and that he loves us. How great are his signs, his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. I want to call your attention to four things. Number one, a dream. Number two, a decree. Number three, the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar. And number four, the deliverance of Nebuchadnezzar. And I want you to see this and see that in this, there is hope for America. I'll show you where God is speaking to my heart. Instead of us examining the dream in both the interpretation and the dream itself, I want to just examine it in the interpretation. That way you see the dream and the interpretation at the same time. And I want you to understand that the Bible said in verse number 11, the tree was grew and the tree was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven. So Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He's getting along fine. He's in his palace, and the Word of God said he's flourishing in his palace. I want you to know something. Listen to me tonight. God has blessed America, and we have flourished as a nation. And I believe tonight that we have forgotten where the blessings come from. We have gotten our eyes on the blessing. We've gotten our eyes on the stuff. We've gotten our eyes off of the blesser, and we've got our eyes off of the Savior. Amen. The Bible said every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there's a dream. Let's look at it here tonight. The Bible said in verse number 19, and we'll be backing up a little, but in verse 19, Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, you understand the king couldn't get any help from his astrologers. He couldn't get any help from his magicians. And so he turns once again to Daniel. Thank God there's somebody that could get a hold of heaven, and somebody that heaven had gotten a hold of. And that was Daniel in this text. The Word of God said, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, that grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, the fruit thereof much, it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king. So now in the dream, we see that the tree is King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, it's thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth. even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. You say, Pastor, do you really believe this happened? Yes, I do. And I'm telling you what's the truth, beloved. If this country don't turn around, I'm telling you there's no telling what we're going to see happen. Amen. But there's hope. I want to show you in the chapter there's hope. The Bible said here, they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whosoever he will. Let me back up. We've talked about the dream for just a moment, and we'll go on. But let me talk about the decree. Look in verse number 17. The word of God said, this matter is by decree of the watchers. Thank God there were some watchers in that day. You know what we need today? We need some more watchers. We need some people that'll watch and pray. We need some people that'll occupy till he comes. The Bible said, and demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High. Please get a hold of this tonight. There's hope for America. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And here's where God let this jump out at me. And giveth it to whomsoever he will. Look, Brother Steve, and setteth up over it the basis of men. I've said in the last year, looks to me like over 300 million people, we could come up better than what we've got. Say amen. But God in Nebuchadnezzar's day said, I set them up, the basis of men. I'll tell you something right now. If we can get to the end of this chapter and see what God has done, it'd be worth it if we had to eat a little bit of grass. Amen. Like an oxen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this man's full of pride. He's full of substance. But there's a God in heaven that's about to cut him down. And this pastor's telling you there's a country. If we don't turn back to God, I'm telling you, God's going to cut us down, amen, down to size, where we'll look up once again and worship the Most High God. The Bible said, he said to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Listen, if we believe the Bible, we believe God sets them up, and we believe God takes them down. Listen, we don't always have to like it, and we won't always like it, especially when they're going contrary to the Word of God. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, beloved, listen, God is wanting to show us. Let's not go out of here with our head down, our chin down. Let's look up. Let's pray up. Amen. And let's believe God can do something about the mess that we're in. Watch this now. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now the old Belshazzar declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, when you listen to him at times, it looks like he's got it figured out. When you look at him in that verse and listen to what he said, he ain't got it figured out at all. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a God in heaven's fixing to help him figure out some things. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. It behooves us. I said us. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to all of us. Not to get too big for our britches. Not to forget where our blessings come from. Not to forget where our health comes from. Not to forget where our wealth comes from. And by the way, if you've got Jesus, you're wealthy. Amen. You might not have a dime in the bank, but you're rich. Treasures unseen you have in your life. Watch this now. There was the decree. And there is the dream. Then there's the decree. But let's go on. I want you to see the downfall. What happened here? Look in verse number 26. I think we've left off in verse 25. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Nebuchadnezzar's thinking, I got this. God's saying, no, you don't. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me. Ain't nobody in Washington got this. And you and I ain't got it either. But I'm telling you, I have a Heavenly Father tonight. He's got this, amen. And beloved, listen, I can glean a great deal of peace in my heart if I'll just realize this mess hasn't taken him by surprise. Watch this. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Watch this now. And break off thy sins by righteousness. Brother Larry, when I read that, I thought about the message you preached last Sunday night. You can add sin unto sin, or you can put a break right there. You know the best way to break from sin is start doing what's right. Fill your life up with what's right. If you'll fill your life up with the righteous things of God, beloved, you can make that break away from sin. Say amen. The Bible said, break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Evidently, the king was just like the rich man, Brother Steve, you preached about, and he was not showing mercy to the poor in his generation. Watch this now. That if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Please look with me now at verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 29. At the end of 12 months, I want you to see something right here that's very important. Judgment's fixing to fall. Listen to me, we need to get this. But it didn't fall immediately. God had already let Nebuchadnezzar know in that dream what was going to happen. God had already interpreted the dream through Daniel and told Nebuchadnezzar what was going to happen. But please get a hold of this. It did not happen immediately. 12 months, the Word of God said, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. You know what 12 months is? It's long enough to forget. America has forgotten a lot. Listen. I talked about the schools this morning. Listen to me carefully. Some of y'all may not even know this. The separation of church and state was never meant to keep the church out of the state's business. It was meant to keep the state out of the church's business. But I'll promise you this, you'll not find many teenagers that know that or college graduates that know that. Because half the moms and dads don't know it. I'm telling you, beloved, we have swallowed a lie. Happy were the days when the church house and the schoolhouse was the same building. And you used the same Bible in school that you used in church. But now we've come along and said, well, we don't want them carrying the Bible to school because then the Muslims have to carry their book to school and the Hindus have to carry their book to school. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. The American experiment will not work without a God, without morality, and without personal responsibility. Did you hear what I said? It will not work. But you say, Pastor, you said there's hope. Yeah, just think about 9/11 for just a moment. That was terrible. But for about 2 weeks, it was all right to pray in America. For about 2 weeks, there was something that came that was so severe, Brother Larry, that caused us to come together and forget about whether there was an R or a D or an I, a red or a blue. We were Americans. I'm telling you, beloved, I don't know what's coming. In Nebuchadnezzar's life, he's eating grass like an ox. His nails are growing out like eagles. His hair like feathers. His nails like claws. There is a God in heaven that ruleth in the affairs of men. He has not and will not apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he has not forgotten our sin. Nationally, watch this now. I want you to see his downfall. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? Look at this. Do y'all remember where all the trouble started with old Lucifer? I You know the middle letter in sin is I? Did you know the middle letter in pride? I think that's right. P-R-I-D-E. I didn't even have to take my shoes off. The middle letter in pride is I. I'm going to tell you who gets me in more trouble than anybody else in this world. I. Nebuchadnezzar said, watch his downfall. The Bible said, I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. You tell me, beloved, right now. You tell me. I was preaching good till Bob come in. I don't know if I can preach the rest of this sermon or not. Amen. He's bigger than life all the way on the back row back there. Amen. I love you, Bob. You appreciate you coming on into church. Amen. Watch this now. I want you to see this tonight. The Bible said it's my power, the honor of my majesty. And the Word of God said this, while the Word was in the king's mouth, it looks to me like, Brother Gary, he didn't even get it spit out. Watch what the Word of God said. While it was in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Do you know what's going to happen? It's happening right now in these verses. Exactly what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar was going to happen. The tree is going to be cut down. You know what? I just want to say this tonight. We need to, you know, I think it was the book of Habakkuk that said, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. It's one of the minor prophets. I know that for sure. I believe it's the book of Habakkuk. In wrath, remember mercy. You know what I believe God's going to do? I believe God's going to cut the tree down. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm talking about a people, generally speaking, in America, that's so prideful that they think it don't matter what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. Amen. It don't matter that it says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. I'm just going to take and take and take and take and take and take. I'm just telling you, beloved, God help us. I believe it's very possible, more probable, that God is going to cut the tree down. You say, well, Pastor, you said there's hope. Yes, in the stump. Because he left the stump. My neighbor built the fence along the back of our property there. And there was, about four holly trees. Cut them off, Brother Steve, even with the ground. Guess what's coming out of them stumps? New life. New life. Green. It's holly, just like it was when it was a tree. I'm telling you, there's hope for America. Let's not get discouraged if God has to take the axe of the tree. If we have to eat grass like an oxen. If our hair has to grow out like feathers. If our nails end up like claws. Let's not get discouraged. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Listen to me. I don't know what God's people are going to go through before we leave here. I know we're not going through the great tribulation, but we're no better than the early church. And honey, they went through more than what you and I have ever dreamed of going through. And I want to say this tonight. I'll say it publicly before my Lord. God, if cutting down the tree would get us back to looking to thee, then cut her down. Cut her down. We have to get back to the place where we borrow a stick of butter, Brother Rose, from the neighbor, or two pieces of cheese to make a grilled cheese sandwich. You say, Peter, why are you talking like that? Because it was common in my childhood, amen, to go next door and borrow an egg, or borrow two eggs, or borrow a cup of meal, or a cup of flour, and pay it back when Mama went to the grocery store. But this country's so full of pride. And most of the time, it's guilty in the church as well. We'd drive 500 miles to a Walmart before we'd go next door and borrow a stick of butter. You say, that's exaggerating, preacher. I don't think it is. We're full of pride. We've been blessed to the place where we don't think we need anything or anybody. That's a dangerous place to be in. I've said this, and I want to repeat it. I believe before our Lord comes, We may need each other more than we've ever needed each other. I want to stay in the church. I want to stay close to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to have real friends. Friends that will stay with you through the thick and through the thin. People that will love you even when you make a mistake. That's a real friend. Brother Don told me the other day, he said, if you want to find your real friends, Brother John, he said this, pretty wise. He said, preach something they don't agree with. That's pretty good stuff right there. You can say whatever you want to. He said, if you don't find out who your real friends is, he said, just preach something they don't agree with. I'm telling you tonight, God is saying to my heart, I hope he's saying it to your heart. He may have to cut her down. We may have to eat grass. My son ate grass when he was coming up. The neighbor's girl made him. That's the truth. He'd pick, wouldn't he, Miss Eve? She got him down, buddy, in the front yard of the parsonage while Miss Eve and I were gone, and he got to eat grass. Literally, eat grass. I'm just glad the dog hadn't visited anywhere close. Amen. Watch this now. They shall drive thee from men. Thy kingdom is departed. In verse 31, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know what Nebuchadnezzar's figuring out real quickly? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Job already knew that. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Watch this now. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. We're looking at the deliverance now. And he was driven from men. He did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, who glory, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Listen to me, youngins. I hope you're getting this like God put it in my heart. We can come to a place in this country, Brother Rick, where our understanding will return unto us. We're blessed. We live in the Bible Belt. That don't mean a whole lot nowadays. I thank God. Brother Steve, I think, mentioned something tonight about God's people. Didn't you mention something tonight about that, about meeting with God's people or God's people being everywhere? I got down there in Florida. Not Florida. South Carolina. Myrtle Coast. Y'all know where that is. Anyway, I got down there, and before I left home, I was looking for a church. And I thought I was settled on a church. So Saturday night, I got to looking some more. And I found this church, and I started reading the reviews. And here's what it said. How refreshing. It was a woman that made the review. She said there was no fog coming up out of the stage. She said there was no pyrotechnics. I don't even know what they are, but I can only imagine. I guess that's fireworks in the house of God. Amen. And she said all they had was a piano. And then she said this. I haven't sung out of a hymnal in years, but they sang out of a hymnal. The Holy Ghost said, that sounds like a place you'd like to be. We went in there, about 100 people. I'm telling you, it was a blessing. Listen, don't you ever, Brother Steve said it something like this, don't you ever let the devil tell you we're alone. God's got youngins scattered out all over this country. He's got youngins scattered out all over this globe that cannot even come together publicly like we are tonight. He's got a church. He's going to take care of his church. We got down there, and pastor preached a good message. We sang some good songs. I knew the songs. Thank God. Amen. Ran into a man. Guess where he was from? Bloomingdale. Tyler Street. It gets better than that. It gets better than that. He said, my wife's been on me to move back. Wouldn't that be something? If I got to worship with a brother in Myrtle Coast and he ended up moving back here to Bloomingdale. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. I hope his wife wins that war. I don't always vote for the wife, but I hope she wins. Amen. You say, Pastor, where's the deliverance? Look at it. At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed. He's singing a different tune, ain't he, Brother Steve? I'm going to tell you something right now. You listen to me. I believe if God cuts that tree down, we might be singing a different tune. And there might be some new shoots. I'm not talking about a new cart or a new way, but just some new life birthed into a nation that has forgotten who her God is. Watch this now. Mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him. You understand now it's not about me anymore. Nebuchadnezzar's gotten rid of the I syndrome. He's gotten rid of the my syndrome. He's gotten rid of the me syndrome. And all he wants to talk about is him. Watch it. Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. You say, Pastor, you said he changed his heart. Look in verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways are judgment, and those... Nebuchadnezzar is not talking about something now that he's heard. He's talking about something he's experienced. Those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. I believe we need to pray for the Congress. I believe we need to pray for the President. The Bible instructs us to. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If men would stop walking in their pride, if they would stop reaching and grabbing for power, I'm talking about all now, and they would realize this thing was set up to be one nation under, somebody tell me the next word, one nation under God, not one godless nation, but one nation under God. What's the next word? What's the word that's prevalent in society today? Division. What did the Word of God say? A house divided. It can't stand, Brother Steve. So you say, Pastor, what are you saying? The Lord may have his axe out, his cross-cut saw. He may have a chainsaw. I don't know what he's got, but he may be fixing to cut the tree down. But don't lose heart. God's saying there's hope. On the other side of that, there was a man that recognized, I don't have near as much power as I thought I did. Don't you wonder sometimes with all the fires and all the floods? Oh, Pastor, don't you know that's climate change? I know this. There's a God in heaven, Brother Larry, that don't change. And he'll bless people that honor him, but he'll judge people that don't honor him. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll go to sleep because judgment has not come immediately. In Nebuchadnezzar's life, it was 12 months later, and he still rears up and gives that big eye and that big my. While it was still in his mouth, God cut him down. I don't wish that on our country. But do you understand that How many of you, at least somewhat, pray for revival? Brother Jimmy, do you understand that's what we might be praying for? That God had cut it down. That might be the only way that we ever see a real revival in our land, is for God to cut that tree down and that tree to understand and realize there is a God in heaven that ruleth in the affairs of men. How many is glad you come tonight?